hard to think about the threat of nuclear war without remembering the U.S. bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki during World War II. The destruction wrought on those Japanese cities still reverberates today, sometimes in surprising ways. This is a story of one remarkable friendship that grew out of the devastation. Here's the world's Daniel Gross.
Ari Beezer is 28 and grew up in Baltimore. But in recent years, he's traveled 5 times to Japan. He made those trips in part because he wanted to understand his grandfather.
Because his image is so ingrained in my mind, it makes me feel like I know him. But he passed away when I was 4, so I don't have too many memories. More recollections of what it felt like to be with him.
Ari's grandfather was Jacob Beezer, who served in World War II. Ari has a black-and-white photo from 1945. Beezer is standing in his Air Force uniform in front of a huge plane, the Enola Gay.
On August 6, 1945, at precisely 8:15 in the morning, I was on a B-29 four-engine bomber.
This is Jacob Beezer. He was the only man in the world to fly on both planes that dropped nuclear bombs in Japan. He was manning the radar.
I never saw the intact city of Hiroshima. And when I got to the window, all I saw was this boiling, muddy mess with fires continuing to break out on the periphery.
My grandfather disconnected with what happened. He said that his immediate reaction was that it looked like when you go down to the ocean shore and you kick up the sand in the tide and the sand billows in the water.
When you hear that scene of your grandfather flying toward Hiroshima, can you imagine it?
Well, you know, I mean, the hardest part for me to imagine is that he was 24 years old when he did it. That's crazy. He was basically a kid.
Ari was 23 when he first visited Japan. In March 2011, he got a grant to write about the legacy of nuclear weapons in Hiroshima. The timing was uncanny. The day Ari got the grant, a tsunami struck Fukushima nuclear power plant. He decided to go anyway because nuclear technology in Japan was more relevant than ever. The trip changed the course of his life. One of the things Ari wanted to know was how his grandfather ended up in that plane over Hiroshima. That story began in the 1930s. Jacob Beezer was a Jewish teenager in Baltimore.
You know, he said he had like 20 brothers and sisters. That's what he always said, because my great-grandmother had been taking in German refugee children.
The Beezer family had Jewish relatives in Europe. Jacob Beezer wanted to go there and fight.
He was trying to enlist and fight Nazis. My great-grandmother wouldn't let him. She said, you're a good Jewish boy. The war is no place for a good Jewish boy.
She kept saying that until 1941.
A date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
Beezer went to boot camp, but he was good at math, so he was sent to Florida to study radar. He was too late for the war in Europe, and instead he was tapped for a secret mission that was supposed to end the war in Japan. His superiors wouldn't say what it was.
They never said the word nuclear. They never said they were building an atomic bomb.
Beezer's next post was in Los Alamos, New Mexico. And after the U.S. completed its first nuclear bombs, Beezer was selected to help fly them to Japan. When Ari flew to Japan in 2011, he was retracing the path that his grandfather once took. In Hiroshima, he was surrounded by people his grandfather might have considered enemies.
In the city that, if I went 70 years ago, I could have been killed just for being American.
He stayed for months in Japan. He started to learn Japanese. And Ari turned out to be the kind of person who needs to know more.
What I really want to learn is what it was like for the people underneath the mushroom cloud, the people that, the women and the children that were mostly there.
There are still thousands of living atomic bomb survivors, hibakusha, as they're called in Japanese. One day, Ari went to a lecture by a woman named Keiko Ogura.
I try to forget those days because that's a horrible memory. And the time to time, when I recall those days, sometimes I cried.
Ogura has worked as a volunteer translator for her fellow hibakusha. She knows how hard it is for them to share. There's not only trauma, but also stigma. some Japanese people viewed radiation sickness as contagious. Others assumed children of survivors would be born with defects.
Many survivors do not want to talk even to our children. I didn't tell my story to my children.
You never told your story to your children?
I didn't. They learned by themselves, or they heard from somebody else. So many years, more than 50 years, I think, I didn't talk about myself. But I thought I have to tell, I have to do something, because people do not know about Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
I asked Ogura if she felt comfortable sharing her memories. She said yes. On the night of August 5th, 1945, Ogura was a little girl living a couple miles from the city center. The family kept waking up to the sound of sirens. It seemed like planes were flying overhead, but no bombs were falling.
Then we tried to sleep. Again, another warning. Nothing happened. So that was so strange. During the night, so many times, so there was warning, but nothing happened.
The next morning, Ogura's father felt worried. He told Ogura not to go into the city for school.
I was on the road near my house, and all of a sudden, there was a tremendously bright flash. And I couldn't stand. I was hit on the road and became unconscious.
When she woke up, it was so dark, she thought it was evening.
But all of a sudden, I heard somebody was crying. That was my little brother. So I waited for a while, and then by, I could see my neighborhood.
It started to rain. The droplets were black and stained her blouse. There were wounded and dying people all around, and when some of them asked for water, she gave it to them. She wanted to be helpful. Some of those people died.
I thought that was my fault. And I blamed myself so many years. I saw very dreadful nightmare, 20 years or so more. I had a hard time.
For decades, Ogura didn't want to recall the events of that day. Her story was a burden, but she also realized it had a special power to change people's minds, to inspire young people like Ari Beezer. Ogura's story made Ari think about his grandfather, Jacob Beezer, who was far above the carnage in that B-29. Beezer helped found Sandia National Laboratories after the war, and then worked as an engineer for military contractors. He didn't feel remorse for what happened. Ari wondered how his grandfather might have reacted to stories of survivors in Japan, like Ogura. When she finished her lecture, 6 years ago, he went up and introduced himself.
Actually did not know who this young man was.
Ari and Ogura have been in touch ever since, and they recently agreed to let me record them talking on the phone. Thinking back, Ari remembers wishing, in that first meeting, that someone had given her a heads up about who he was.
I was embarrassed that no one had explained to you beforehand, because you would be maybe surprised to know that instead of a regular American boy, you were talking to the grandson of someone who was on the airplanes. Someone who was above the mushroom cloud.
But Ogura was excited and a little worried that Ari would be upset.
I felt so sorry. Ari might be shocked. Ari, didn't you feel like that? Weren't you shocked?
Well, I mean, it's more amazing to me that you were more worried about how I would feel than how you felt. All you were worried about was somebody else. That just speaks to how great you are, Ogura-san.
Ogura-san, when you met Ari, did you also feel any pain or any anger?
Anger? No. Because Ari is a young American boy. I thought American young people should know what happened in reality.
That meeting made Ari committed to hearing and sharing stories of survivors. He met with Ogura many more times, even shared the stage with her. She started to call him grandson. And in 2015, Ari published a book about all this. It's called The Nuclear Family. In 2016, President Barack Obama visited the Hiroshima Peace Park. He met survivors, and he prayed with Japan's Prime Minister, Shinzo Abe. Ari was in attendance and remembers having a kind of revelation.
And I realized that one day that I'm going to tell my grandchildren that my grandfather was the only man in the world that flew on both the planes that dropped the atomic bombs, and their grandfather saw the first U.S. president come to Hiroshima. And to me, that's the definition of peace.
Ari remembers seeing Ogura that day, too. They were happy.
She'd said to me, your grandfather was above the mushroom cloud, and I was under the mushroom cloud, but we can be together.
For The World, I'm Daniel Gross.
Daniel's story is part of a series we're doing on nuclear history and the relationships of the atomic age. You can find more stories at pri.org/nuclearfamily.